Welcome to the Design Insights Podcast, a show about uncovering what drives and inspires designers in all creative fields. Your host is Sophia Clark, founder and creative director of Galliatea, on a mission to redefine socially conscious luxury. Hi, welcome to Galliatea Design Insights Podcast. We are here today with Gaia. How are you?
Hey, I'm so happy to be here. I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Good, good, good. We're so excited to have you here and to hear all about your amazing venture and what you're up to. So please tell our audience who you are, where you're from, what you do, a little bit about you.
Sure. Well, I'm a fashion designer and I come from Irvine, California in SoCal. And I'm currently starting a footwear company called Hylos, where we make 3D printed shoes with what we're calling tailored footwear, which is really the first of its kind. And we're making customizable footwear more accessible and a more fluid approach to this 3D printed industry.
Super exciting. So actually, when I have to be honest, when I first saw it, I was like, oh my goodness, this is so cool. This is exactly what I need because I have two different size feet. I hate to admit that, but I think that that's like a more common thing that I then probably know about. So how did you get involved in fashion? Like, so why fashion to begin with?
Well, first of all, I'd just like to say that 60% of people have different size feet. So you are not alone. And that is probably the most exciting problem that we're solving to me. Not that I have different size feet, but I just think that I'm really excited for like a size 12 girl to be able to wear some cute shoes. So anyways, where I got started, I honestly, it's so funny, like there's no fashion in my family at all. And I don't know where it came from because I was not a fashionable kid, but I just loved drawing. I was very artistic. My grandma's an artist and I loved drawing my friends in different outfits every day. I would like always draw, like starting in elementary school, like I would just draw like all my friends and we're wearing our limited two and Abercrombie. And that's kind of where it started. And it just continued. Like I always, you know, if somebody asked me what I wanted to be, it was a fashion designer. And, you know, when I started high school, I knew that that was my course. So I applied to fashion schools and I learned about, you know, which ones would be best for me. And I ended up at the Academy of Art University in San Francisco, which I'm super happy about. And I had an amazing experience there. I learned so much and it just kind of continued on into the career and here I am.
Yeah. So I know that you are not a solopreneur. You have other people, you know, in this business with you. So talk us through, like, how did you guys come together? How did this idea of tailored shoes using, you know, handmade tailoring as well as 3D printing come together? Like, how was this born?
Yeah, it was born out of a vision for what 3D printing could be. My co-founder, Elias Stahl, went to Fashion Tech Week in New York a couple years back and saw custom 3D printed beanies. And he thought, nobody needs a custom beanie. We need custom shoes. Yeah. And maybe there are some people that need custom beanies, don't get me wrong, but I think shoes is really where we're going to see the most improvements when you customize something. You can have a shirt that fits you a little bit big or a little bit small, but when a shoe doesn't fit right, it can really ruin your day. And so we started doing our research and talking to hundreds of women, honestly, and just kind of understanding the issues at hand. And we just saw exactly what the needs are. I mean, the sizing is off. People have a really hard time finding comfort and style. They end up compromising. I think every single woman that we talked to compromised on something when she bought her last pair of shoes. So it's just, I don't see why, like, as a girl that has a size 4 shoe can't get a cute shoe, you know? Like, it's 2020. There's so many issues that are being solved right now through technology. So that's what really like lit us up to solve this one.
Yeah. And so can you walk us through the process? For example, if, you know, we come to you and we're like, okay, I have a size, you know, 4.5 on 1 foot, 5 on the other foot, what is the process to, you know, order these tailored shoes?
So it's super streamlined. One of our brand ethos is only use what's needed. And so our website is just totally is that. And so we try to make it really easy. So when you go to our website, you'll scroll down, you'll first pick your color, and then the next scroll down will be your size. And so if you know your size, if you know that you're a size 5 on the other foot, 5 on your left and 5.5 on your right, wide, narrow, whichever, you can select whichever ones that you know that you are and continue on your way to customizing your, what we're calling make your mark, where you can actually put your name on the bottom of the sole or anything that you'd like and continue with your purchase. Or on that same page where you can tailor your fit, there's a button that is called Find My True Fit, and it'll show you a step-by-step process where you can trace your feet on a paper, which is actually the way, it sounds silly, but it's actually the way that most shoemakers find their customers' shoe sizes when you go to get custom shoes. And so you'll trace your foot on a sheet of paper and you can measure the length and the width and enter it into our system and your size will pop out.
That's so cool. Yeah, that was gonna be my next question. Like, what if you don't know your size? Because I feel like, especially when you're traveling internationally or whatever, there's always disparity in like sizing. That is such a major issue. Mm-hmm. You can be a size in one company or in one country and be a completely different size in a different company or a different country. So you guys have already thought that through and like found a solution to that. I would have never thought that tracing your foot and measuring it would have been like the solution to that.
Me too. I mean, we didn't make this stuff up. Like we learned from people that have lots of experience. And, you know, when we first heard that, we were kind of baffled as well. But, and there's no perfect way. I have to say, like, there is really no perfect way to get your perfect fit and the most comfortable fit to you for every single person. But this was the way that we felt was the most accurate and closest.
So which part of it is 3D'd and which part of it, because I know that we've talked previously and you said there is a part that is still handmade because not everything can be 3D'd. So which parts are which?
Yeah, so the platform, which is what we're calling, it's an interesting language that we're creating here because what we've done is we've taken every part that goes into your typical shoe, like a heel, an outsole, a midsole, an insole, a shank. It's all one piece now. And so we're calling it a platform. Okay. It's just one system that encompasses everything that you need in a shoe. So that entire piece is 3D printed. And then we have a process that we do that doesn't involve any glues, where we cinch, essentially it's cinching the upper, which is leather, onto the platform so that we can actually take it apart and recycle all the pieces at the end of their life.
That is way cool. I love how you've thought through the entire life cycle of the shoe, like even to the point of when you're done with it, you know, like what happens with that. So there's such a huge sustainable approach to it. That's, what about the plastic? What happens to that? Is it a recyclable?
Yes. So there's a way that you can actually take that. So it's TPU, thermopolyurethane, and you can actually regrind that part up. You regrind it and you can use it for new parts. So currently we have partners that can use that material and use it for their specific needs in their businesses. What we want to do in the future is be able to grind that material back up and actually use it to recreate shoes.
Way cool. So your old shoes could become your new shoes as well.
Exactly. So the technology is not quite there yet, sure. But as we've been seeing with 3D printing, I mean, things, you know, there's new innovations happening in 3D printing all the time. So that's the really exciting part about working in the 3D printing space.
Yeah. I've just been so fascinated with this topic. Every time I talk to someone, I'm like, you have to hear this awesome concept that I heard. And I like tell everyone I can think of about it because it's something that seems like obvious that should already be there, but you guys are kind of at the forefront of it. So I just think it's like really cool. In terms of design, because that's really where your area of expertise is in this, where do you derive like your inspiration, your creativity for the designs?
Yeah, it comes from a lot of different places, but for this specific collection, which is now one shoe, but of course, you know, you start off with the collection and kind of refine. It was really inspired by interior design, which is why when you called me up, I was like, this is so perfect, because I love everything that you're doing too. And the furniture that your artisans make is beautiful. And so I take a lot of my inspiration from furniture, which sounds so weird when you say it, but there's just some really beautiful shapes that get created by that.
What do you see is a trend right now in the fashion industry? What is a trend that you can get on board and would hope becomes mainstream? And what is a trend that you like kind of want to disappear?
So something that I'm seeing in the industry that I am in love with is the diversity happening right now, and the individualist approach to fashion and, you know, to everything. When I was in college, when I was in high school, like, you had to fit in still. Like, that sounds, I feel like I'm 26 and I feel old saying that. I feel like I'm dating myself because we're living in such a different time right now where you can truly be yourself and you are commended for that. Yeah, I think when, like, I grew up, you know, a little bit rounder, I would say. I was kind of a round child. And if I was able to see the commercials and the ads that I'm seeing now where they're actually emphasizing that as beautiful, I would be a totally different person. So I'm so happy that kids do get to grow up with that. And I see it in, you know, Gen Z, and they're flaunting their bodies and they're proud of their bodies. And it's like really amazing. It's not just about body diversity, but about style diversity. Like Gen Z, they don't just follow trends, like they make trends their own. And it's really applauded by their peers. And it's just so cool to see. I love it.
And what is something that you are like overseeing that you think has been overdone or you just don't think has a place in fashion anymore?
I don't know if this is a proper answer, but I guess fast fashion is what I would say. Yeah. I think fast fashion needs to either improve on its behavior or just go away. It's made some really bad habits in us as consumers, me included. But I took a break from fast fashion, or I called it a break just because I thought it'd be hard. But that was like my New Year's resolution, and I'm never going back. Like I don't feel like I need that in my life. And I think that until they really improve and start treating their workers as humans, I think that consumers will start understanding what actually goes into their clothes. Because I think when consumers see that fashion comes so quickly, that they see the trends that are on the models, on the influencers, on the runways, like come to their store near them so quickly, like that just becomes their norm and they don't even understand what it took to get there. And so I think that the education has to start with the brands, and they have to start educating their consumers on where their clothes are actually coming from in order for us to understand as a society and value clothing. Like, we don't even value clothing anymore. Sorry to get all
but I think it's absolutely correct. I feel like as a society in general, and I don't even know if it only applies to fashion, that statement, just the aspect of, for me, it's really like the instant gratification aspect as well as like the fast consumerism, just because you consume it and then you just throw it away easily. So I think it manifests itself and we see it so much in fashion, but I think in all aspects also, you know, but definitely most prominently in fashion. So no, not all, like the whole point of this interview is to bring up these topics that sometimes aren't discussed or we don't reflect on too much. And so I think it's super valuable. And I think especially your business tackles that. And what do you do after you throw it away? And I think not a lot of companies think about that, trying to attempt to create solutions like ThredUp or something like that. What is your take on doing those kind of things? That's another trend also. What do you think about that?
Yeah, it's a start. And that's where I get a lot of my clothes from, secondhand shops now. A lot of our furniture in the office is secondhand. And so that's definitely, like, I would say the easiest route to go if you're trying to be a more sustainable shopper or consumer, that is the easiest route to go, because you still get cute clothes, you still get cute furniture, and it's just a little bit used. And it is, you're recycling. That is recycling. I think that something that I learned since moving to Portland, because there's a lot of sustainability and eco-conscious people here. So I've learned a lot. Just throwing something in the recycling bin is not enough, unfortunately. I wish it was that easy. But, you know, the best way that you can recycle something is to reuse it yourself or to pass it on to somebody who can reuse it and it actually gets reused. And then that person that is reusing doesn't have to consume another product. And when we all do that, then, you know, we have a world where we don't have overproduction. And so I've definitely started to use that in my own life. I'm far, far, far from perfect. But, you know, just like a simple example is your can of beans can be used as a pencil holder, which I love to do, or like your paintbrush holder or whatever. You don't have to go and buy that cute pencil holder from Walmart or wherever you like to go to buy your office supplies. So I think it starts small like that, and you kind of start seeing your products and your things differently when you look at it in the way of like, how can I use this again? Or where is this going to go after it's done?
Something that's interesting also for me that I take into account when, you know, reusing something or sustainability in general or buying something is the quality of it. Like if you know that the quality is a good quality, then the chances of it lasting a long time are much higher than if it's a cheaper made product, right? And that doesn't mean it has to be like a super luxury brand name. It just, there's so many options out there of really good, decent products, good quality products on that.
Absolutely. And two, like you'll take care of that product way better. And I think that like, if we started thinking about the amount of pants that we bought as an example. If you bought 3 pants for $30 each from, you know, like a fast fashion brand that makes them really cheaply, you're likely actually going to get more out of your, let's say, $150 pant that you bought from a company that makes their clothes really well and does, and you know, hopefully does it sustainably as well. There's plenty of companies too that price up their clothes and they're still, you know, doing it unethically and not really using amazing materials. So I think the consumers need to take it upon themselves to educate themselves a bit too. And brands, of course, need to do a better job of being more transparent and honest too.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree. Something that I think is hard though, especially nowadays with like this boom in social media where we turn to it, you know, basically even for like anything like shopping advice, life advice, we turn to these influencers who are constantly pushing products. Not that I don't want to say I'm against influencers, not at all. I've recommended products also from the get-go. I think anyone who recommends anything is an influencer to begin with. So everyone is an influencer. But my point is, these platforms really truly encourage you to always purchase, to always be buying. So what is your take on that? How do you approach that? How does your company approach that?
Yeah, I mean, I think the best case scenario for our earth is that nobody buys anything. We all live off of the land.
Yeah.
And we make our own meals out of the earth, right? That's if you want to be 100% sustainable, but if you want to be 100% eco-friendly, environmentally friendly, but that isn't actually sustainable because not everybody is going to want to live their lives that way. We're all already accustomed to this style of consuming. And so it's really about how can we integrate what we currently have with like a better process. Point being, you know, there's balance. And so products make us happy. Clothes make us happy. Furniture makes us happy. And I'm absolutely not against purchasing product. I think that we need pushes like that in our lives that may be not the best for the planet, but they push us further as humans and as a society, you know, to do better. I think that what you put on your body is similar in terms of like health-wise to what you put in your body. You know, when you put something on your body that makes you feel happy, it makes you feel good, it makes a big difference. And so I think it is important to find those products that make you happy. But again, like going back to our brand ethos is like only use what you need. And so it's really about like consuming less, not about consuming nothing. And so I get that, you know, there's influencers and so many influencers pushing products. And if that's a product that makes you happy and you want that product and that person made you believe in that product, then it might be a really good product. And you might be supporting a business that is doing really great things for the world, for you as a consumer. And so that's totally okay. I just think that it's all about balance.
Is there one thing that you would like not do in your designs?
Yes. I will never be a designer that designs conventional basics. And I'm not saying that we don't need conventional basics in the world, but you don't need designers to make those. They are already out there and you can copy whichever ones you want. And there's no, I think the reason that I'm turned off by it is that there isn't any innovation in there. And so I think that I can't imagine myself like putting my energy into designing something that's already been made.
No,
nothing wrong with basics. I love a good basic. I'm wearing a good basic right now. But sorry, I didn't mean to sound so negative, but
No. That, but I mean, the question was like actually a negative question. It was like, what would you not do? So it had a negative premise to begin with. But I think you're true to who you are as a designer and your where you put your creative energy towards. And if you feel like there are enough basics in the world that you don't want to add just one more, you have a voice as a designer and you need to share that voice through your design. So I think that it's absolutely valuable. And I did not think of it as a negative thing. So no judgment here whatsoever. I've heard it all. Is there anything that for you or your company has changed in COVID and that you will keep implementing after this new normal sets in?
You know, we've weirdly like grown during COVID, and I'm really, really thankful for that. We were able to find our own office space, which we were working from home office before COVID and then from each of our homes separately before then. And now we're safely working from our new office space, which we really love. And so a lot I've noticed that I'm keeping, whether anybody likes it or not, is the trust that we built as a team. I think that working siloed in our own homes really forced us to trust each other. And we're a really small team here. We're three full-time employees. And so it's really, you know, when we worked in an office together before, we're in each other's business. We're all in, like, I'm in the engineering world. Elias is in the design world. And it's great to collaborate. But I think that working separately really allowed us to take space from each other and trust each other to know each of our own fields. And so I feel a lot more coming back into our office space now, like I feel so much more at ease. Like I know I have full trust. Not that I didn't trust my team before, but I think it's just really gotten a lot stronger and we can each be a lot more confident in our own segments of the business.
Where do you see the state of the fashion industry going forward?
I've been noticing that consumers are a lot more intentional with their purchases. Consumers really want to understand where their purchase is coming from and who made that product. What is this brand's story? And I think that that has a little bit to do with the Gen Zers maturing and, you know, making their way into our markets, because they're all about the brand story too. They're individualistic. So when they buy something, they tell the story behind it. They want to be a part of that brand as well. And so that's definitely where I see, and I hope that the fashion industry goes, because I think that, like I was saying before, it's really important for us as consumers to do the homework as well and know where everything is coming from, understand who is this brand, because a lot of times, like, there's really hard workers out there building their name, a name for themselves, and you know, big companies kind of copying their products or ideas. And I think in a consumer's mind, and this is how I would think in the past as well, is like, oh, well, why would I buy this so expensive when I can get it really cheap at Target? And I think that, you know, when you know as a consumer where your money is going, then you feel a lot better spending $100 rather than $25.
You basically vote with your dollar, right? So that's how I always think. You put value on things. The way you demonstrate that is through your purchases. That I completely agree with that. What advice would you give young designers today?
I think something that is really important, and I still do this to this day, like I would compare myself so much. We all do it to other students and say, mine's bad, theirs is good. And especially with this like individualistic like mindset that the younger generation has, it's gonna, you know, people are gonna, they're gonna value themselves more because they understand that they think differently doesn't mean that it's worse or doesn't mean that it's better. So I think that that's really important because that way you'll be able to build your design aesthetic to your true aesthetic and not just by, you know, comparing and, you know, having people tell you what's good, what's bad.
If what would you tell your 18-year-old self today in terms of advice or counsel or what not to do? Like, what would you tell your 18-year-old self?
When I was 18, you know, up until through my early 20s, I was very concerned with the future. You know, if one action that I did would lead to the future that I want. And of course, it's easier to say it now that I know the path that I took, but or the path that I'm on. But I would definitely tell 18-year-old Gaia to worry less about the future and just enjoy the present and learn what I can. I've always, since childhood, wanted to be further along. Mm-hmm. Like I wanted to be an adult when I was a kid, and I didn't get to enjoy being a kid because of that. And so I think that has been really important to me now in my life is just to enjoy exactly where I'm at.
Amazing advice for anyone. So I know you say you want to live in the present, but I am going to jump into the future a little bit just because where do you see yourself? Like you don't ever have to think about it again, but right now, like where do you see yourself in 5, 10, 20 years?
I hate these questions.
Sorry, I'm putting you on the spot.
Well,
if not for yourself, for the brand, like where do you see, if you don't want to talk about yourself, like where do you see the brand being in that?
So that might be a little bit easier to portray because who knows? I'm so entangled in the brand anyways. I think in 5 years from now, we'll be really, we'll have our footwear line locked in. Like we'll be smooth sailing with our production process and our business and putting out, you know, new lines, however often that we do, and just kind of have that whole flow. And I hope to be developing a new line of products, maybe handbags, maybe clothes, but just kind of continuing to develop our brand beyond footwear. I also hope that we have some men's shoes by then too, because I think some guys would love to rock high lows. And in 10 years, the world is our oyster. I don't know.
Yeah, that's good. Don't lock yourself down. No. Are there any resources that you use that you would suggest other people to use?
Yeah, I recently started using Milanote, Milanote, to build up our content calendar. It's just a really simple tool. They have a free version where you can just kind of like have full control of, like, it's basically like a first draft of your posts. So I really like that. Also, go to the library if you're a designer, like go out into the world. I think that something that I learned when I was studying fashion design and something that I still do is not these days with COVID, but you know, go to the library and give yourself like 2 hours to like look through things because you'll find things that you can't search in Google. And so I think that that's really important when you're looking for design inspiration.
Well, we have loved getting to know you better through this interview. I just wanted to turn over the time to you for any announcements. What's up next for you guys? So
thank you so much. I've really enjoyed talking with you and really appreciate you having me and doing this for designers. It's really great to share our stories. So I appreciate it. Yeah. So it's actually a really exciting time at High Lows. We just announced our website launch yesterday. So I would love it if you all went and checked it out. It's highlows.co and give us a follow on Instagram, highlows_shoes. So that way you'll be the first to know when our pre-sale goes live. So we're gonna release a 100 pair pre-sale in just a few weeks, and we'll also be running a giveaway to celebrate that. So give us a follow so you know exactly when that's going to be. And we're excited.
Very excited for you. I am for sure signed up through that because I cannot wait to have comfy, super cute shoes that actually fit. So I'm highly recommend. And your designs are really cool. Thank you again so much, Gaia. It's been such a pleasure to get to know you.
Thank you so much.